Witnesses say police with daggers and sticks joined security forces in driving the protesters away from a central square in the Capitol. President Barack Obama sends his 2012 budget proposal to Congress tomorrow, and a summary obtained by the Associated Press indicates the administration will propose more than $1 trillion in deficit reduction over the next decade. This is IR Ryan, USA Radio News.
Valentine's Day celebrates love, but experts say it's important to make romance in your relationship a priority every day. The KY Brand Intimacy Experiment is a free 10-day relationship bootcamp meant to help, inspire, delight, and empower couples to reignite the special spark in their relationship. Best-selling author and renowned physician Dr. Hilda Hutcherson explains.
The KY Brand Intimacy Experiment is a free 10-day relationship camp meant to help, inspire, delight, and empower couples to reignite the special spark in their relationship. Every day for 10 days, the book offers a theme to focus on for your relationship and activities to help spice up your romance, both inside and outside the bedroom. We're kicking off the intimacy experiment with Trista and Ryan Sutter from ABC's Bachelorette. They're going to share their experience daily on Facebook and Twitter.
For more information about the KY Brand Intimacy Experiment, go to Facebook and type in Couples Place, or get there directly at facebook.com/KY Couples.
Iran is taking steps to contain detractors at home while Tehran's opponents are raising their profiles and Algeria rumbles. Correspondent Sophia Manos reports.
Iran is signaling new restrictions by setting up a special prosecutor's office for offenses related to media and culture. Those groups largely supported protests 2 years ago against the re-election of President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. This comes 2 days after Egypt's president was ousted amid widespread demonstrations. At the same time, an Iranian reformist website invites people to rally peacefully Monday in solidarity with Tunisian and Egyptian protesters. And opposition leaders in Algeria say weekend demonstrations in defiance of a public ban mark a turning point for that North African country. I'm Sophia Manos.
Authorities say drugs and alcohol do not appear to be a factor in a boat accident in the Gulf of Mexico that left 4 people dead. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Attention homeowners. The Obama administration is pressuring lenders to do more to prevent foreclosure with its Home Affordability and Stability Plan. If you own a home and you're having trouble making your payments or facing foreclosure, we can help. We now have the ability to stop foreclosure proceedings, forgive late payments and penalties, and reduce your mortgage payment to as low as 2%. Call the National Mortgage Helpline at 800-590-6350. 800-590-6350.
There are more details about the man who allegedly went on a deadly stabbing spree in New York City that left 4 people dead. Correspondent Julie Walker reports.
It apparently began, police say, when 23-year-old Maxim Gelman, a graffiti artist, asked his mother if he could drive her Lexus. She said no. Armed with 5 knives, Gelman then allegedly went on a bloody 28-hour rampage across New York City, fatally stabbing his stepfather, ex-girlfriend, and her mother, running down a pedestrian with the stolen car, and slashing and wounding 4 other people before police arrested him in a Times Square subway station after riders spotted him. Julie Walker, New York.
Egyptian officials say valuable items are missing from the world-famous Egyptian museum. More from correspondent Mark Levy.
Robbers broke into the Egyptian museum at the beginning of the uprising that toppled President Hosni Mubarak. Officials say 18 items are missing, including statues of famous Egyptian monarchs and Queen Nefertiti. Another 70 items were damaged. The huge old-fashioned museum is right next to Tahrir Square, focus of the huge demonstrations. The museum is a key part of Egyptian culture. It holds thousands of mummies, statues, and other artifacts, displaying them in order of their age, going back 5,000 years. I'm Mark Levy.
Authorities have released the names of 3 people found dead at a central Virginia home. The Madison County Sheriff's Office on Sunday identified the victims as James Clark Jackson, Karen Lee Jackson, and Shantae Latrice Davis. With IRN USA Radio News, I am Precious Watson.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to the...
Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Today we'll be talking about dog fighting and Michael Vick in particular. Later in the show, we will be speaking with John Goodwin, Director of Animal Fighting Policy for the Humane Society of the United States. We're also going to be speaking with one of the new owners of a dog rescued from the Vick fighting operation. But first, we have Jim Grant, senior editor of Sports Illustrated and the author of a great book, The Lost Dog. We caught up with him at the 2010 Best Friends No More Homeless Pets Conference. We are joined by Jim Grant, senior editor of Sports Illustrated. And Jim Grant is also the author of The Lost Dogs. And, So, Jim, tell us, how did you get involved in this?
Well, it's sort of totally by chance. I mean, I was working at Sports Illustrated, obviously followed the Mike Vick case pretty closely. So I knew what became of him, and I knew what how the case turned out, but I never really thought about the dogs, that aspect of it. And it was about a year later, I just came across a short news item that mentioned these dogs were out there, and they were being rehabilitated, and some of them put up for adoption. And, you know, I just thought, Well, where have they been all this time, for starters? And B, what does rehabilitation mean for fighting pit bulls? And what does adoption mean? I mean, they're going to be in homes with other pets, or they're going to be homes with kids. And there seemed to be a lot of backstory there and a lot of interesting questions going forward. And so I started poking around a little bit, and the more I did, the more interesting it became. And eventually I pitched the story to my editors at Sports Illustrated, and they said, go for it. And ended up writing a magazine piece that got on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and then the book grew out of that.
I then asked Jim to speak about the process of writing this book, starting with the Sports Illustrated article.
You know what? It was interesting. When I first finished the article, I sort of felt like, well, I don't know if there's any more to say, really. I felt like I said it all. But then when I thought about it some more, what occurred to me was that, you know, the article had sort of told the dog story in a very general way, and there was an opportunity in writing The Lost Dogs to expand that dog story, to tell more about that in more detail and really uncover what went on, and also to tell the people story. You know, it occurred to me there was a huge people story that went on from the very beginning. The investigators, the local deputy sheriff who led the initial raid, to the USDA investigator who got involved, to the prosecutor who was sort of very open-minded guy and key in making the whole case happen. And then you go on to the ASPCA who came in and got involved in all these various rescue groups, and then the individuals who took the dogs in the end and really worked with them. And when you get into this, the people side of it, and this sort of chain of very dedicated, compassionate people that were involved, and the opportunity to tell their story and sort of shed light on what goes into all this, that was really appealing. And that was something that I looked forward to. I mean, there were parts of it, like about being difficult. I mean, you know, there are parts of the book that doesn't shy away from what actually happened. And dogfighting is a harsh and terrible thing. And what these dogs endured is hard to think about or look at up close sometimes. But I felt like that was necessary to understand what they had overcome when you get to the later parts of the book and they're working through all their issues. So there were parts that were tough, and then there were parts that were emotional, but I think that comes across in the book, and I think that makes it all stronger in the end, or at least I hope so.
So I find it interesting, you're senior editor of Sports Illustrated, and your heart really went out to this. Are you a dog lover?
Yeah, I would say I always make this distinction between there are dog lovers and dog people. You know, dog lovers are people like me. I grew up with dogs. I love dogs. I wish no ill towards them. But then there are dog people, and those are people who are all about dogs. So I'm not a dog person, but I'm a dog lover. And it was just for me, I came to it more as a journalist. It seemed like a really interesting and compelling story to tell. And you know, in the process, once you get involved, it turns you into something else, I think, over time, because the story is just so moving.
Do you have a different view about pit bulls than you did prior to writing this book?
Absolutely. I came to the situation knowing nothing about pit bulls, really, only what you read in the headlines, which, as you know, are the worst things. And it was interesting, really, because once you start looking past those headlines and those sort of myths, you know, it doesn't take a lot of scratching, but once you get past that surface, you realize there's a whole sort of world of information about these dogs out there. And that in the end, they are just dogs, you know, really. I mean, they have some tendencies and some general sort of things you could say about the breed, but at the end of the day, they're just dogs. And if you raise them properly and treat them properly and socialize them properly and manage them properly, you know, they're great. And they can be great pets. And I've met, in the process of doing this, I mean, dozens and dozens of people who tell me, I mean, I will never own another type of dog other than a pit bull. They're just the greatest experience they've ever had. And it's the greatest thing. And so, you know, that was just one of the many eye-opening things about this whole process.
Yeah, they sure do get a bad rap, don't they? What were some of the biggest surprises you came across?
Well, that was one of them, and a lot of it grows out of that, just this whole idea about different kinds of dogs and what you can and can't say about dogs in a way, and that, you know, the idea behind a lot of this in general was this idea of individual evaluations. I mean, when it was time to look at these dogs, obviously the recommendations, as had always been in these cases, was to put them all down once the trial was over. But there was a huge public outcry. People really wanted them to try and do something to save these dogs. And the prosecutor, you know, took the time and he said, well, what else is possible? And they consulted the ASPCA, who recommended coming in and individually evaluating each dog. And that's what they did. And in that process, they realized that, you know, out of the 49 dogs they started with, 47 of them had some potential to be rehabilitated. And that larger measure sort of rings through. I mean, the dogs become individuals. And, yeah, you could say some general things about a pit bull or a lab or a poodle or whatever, but you really have to go dog by dog, and you have to look at each dog for what it is, regardless of its breed or regardless of its background. And, you know, that was one of the other big surprises for me. I didn't understand that coming in. I think that's hopefully for a lot of people that's sort of, you know, a point of view that they can appreciate or come to know, and if they don't already. Because it's one of really the themes of the book and one of the things that made this case special in some ways. The other aspect of it, the other real sort of precedent-setting aspect, was that the impact on law enforcement this case had. You know, the successful pursuit of this case really signaled to law enforcement that these were good cases for them for a number of reasons. They were very popular with the public. I mean, there was this outcry, and it was satisfying, and people really liked that something was done for these dogs. They also realized they could get convictions, which, you know, they were never sure about. And they also realized that this was sort of a gateway crime. There's, you know, studies have been done that people who participate in this or witness these things become desensitized to violence, higher rates of spousal abuse, higher rates of child abuse. And also when they bust these things, they catch not just dog fighters, but drug dealers and gun traffickers. I mean, the kind of people who are here often are involved in other high-level crimes. And so it was a way to cut off a lot of types of crime by pursuing one particular type of case. And so the incidence of investigation of these cases and prosecution of them has gone up as a result of all this. So those were some of the really sort of groundbreaking aspects and the surprising aspects to me, at least, when I got into it.
Being senior editor of Sports Illustrated, and I asked you if your views about pit bulls have changed. How about your view regarding Michael Vick?
Well, yeah, that's the hardest question I get. You know, it's sort of how you want to answer it. I mean, I sort of try to take it from the point of view of here's where we are. You know, we have a criminal justice system. The guy was caught. He stood trial. He was given a sentence. He served his sentence. You could argue whether he should have gotten more time, whether he should have gotten less time. Technically, for the charges he was charged with and his criminal history, he should have gotten zero time if you go by the federal guidelines. But the prosecutor would not accept that. So they pushed, and he ended up getting the 21 months. I think he served 19 of it in federal prison. So, you know, people have gotten more for the same, you know, for similar crimes. People have gotten less. So it's hard to say what he should or should not have gotten. I know a lot of people feel very strongly, especially in the animal welfare community, he should be in there for life. But he's out now. He was reinstated by the NFL. He has a marketable skill. You know, I don't see how you deny someone the opportunity to make a living. You know, the other side of that is that I'm very protective of the fact that I don't want the wrong impression to get out there, though. You know, I don't want people to just look and say, oh, look, he was gone for the blink of an eye and he's back and he's playing well. He's going to make millions of dollars. Well, that's not true. I mean, I'm not volunteering for almost 2 years in federal prison. I don't know if you are. I don't think it's a pleasant experience. He's declared personal bankruptcy. He owes $18 to $20 million. So if, in fact, he does cash in, he's not cashing in. His creditors are cashing in. So, you know, I don't want the impression you got there that Michael Vick is out there living on high hog now and having this great experience. He's still, you know, suffering as a result of these mistakes he made, beside the fact that he lost 2 years of the prime of his career. So, I mean, the suffering continues for Michael Vick, and as it should be. And it's useful if that continues as a sort of a cautionary tale.
You're listening to Animals Today, and this is Dr. Lori Kirshner. We have more with Jim Grant, author of the book, The Lost Dog. Also with us, we're going to hear the story about one of the dogs who was rescued from the Vick fighting operation. And later in the show, we'll be speaking with John Goodwin, director of Animal Fighting Policy for the Humane Society of the United States. You're listening to Animals Today.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match for the dangers of today's world. The good news is animal behaviorists say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and much healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a sobbing child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there are no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you, don't give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late.
Real people, real nasal congestion.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I have been congested for the last 10 days, and it is so frustrating.
Would you like to give Afrin Nasal Spray a try?
I would.
As soon as you feel any difference, let me know.
Just 45 seconds later.
Wow. I can breathe through my nose. Afrin has made me happy. Is that a silly statement? I would absolutely recommend Afrin to others.
Afrin starts working in seconds. Why suffer? Use as directed.
Can you get long-lasting pain relief without taking pills all day? Yes, with Thermacare heat wraps.
I was surprised. I got real relief without pills.
I could actually feel the real heat of Thermacare relax and unlock my tight muscles.
Over 8 hours, Thermacare is more effective for back pain than the maximum dose of acetaminophen, the medicine in Tylenol.
No pills, no pain, just relief.
Try Thermacare heat wraps. Go to Thermacare.com for a $3 off coupon now. Use as directed.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, Foot Traffic Marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
Welcome back to the show. We are continuing our discussion with Jim Grant, senior editor of Sports Illustrated, about his book, The Lost Dog. I then asked Jim what reaction readers are having to his book.
Well, I know I could say we got a great reaction to the initial story. We got over 400 letters and emails, which was the most for any story we got in that year. It ran in 2008. That was the most response we got to any story that year. The majority of those responses were positive, and the ones that were negative were mostly the lines of, what does this have to do with sports, you know, which we get sometimes. But to the credit of the editors at Sports Illustrated, they like to stretch the boundaries. They like to do unexpected things from time to time, and this fell into that category. In terms of what the overall reader of SI and that appeal, I'm not sure. I think it still falls a lot along the lines of, if you're interested in dogs. I think, you know, the initial push with the book has been a lot of dog people and dog lovers. But I think it's also gotten beyond that. We got to number 10 on last week's New York Times bestseller list. So I think it is penetrating a little bit of a wider audience, and that's great. You know, because certainly we want to spread the word, you know, within the animal community. But also, if you could start to change perceptions in a larger way, that would be great, because, as we mentioned earlier, these dogs have not really been treated fairly or given a fair shake, and anything we could do to sort of turn those perceptions around in the general public would be great.
We then had a chance to meet up with Andrew Yorey and his companion, a beautiful red pit bull named Hector. Andrew is the director of care and enrichment from Animal Farm Foundation Incorporated. Hector was one of the dogs rescued from the Vic operation. And I asked Andrew to tell us Hector's story.
The story of how I obtained Hector kind of goes back a little bit further, in that I was doing some work with another dog of mine named Wallace, who happened to look like a pit bull. And we ended up adopting him and discovered that he really liked the flying disc. And so he became a Frisbee dog. And we won a national championship, and we're doing a lot of good for the dogs to show them in a different light. And so once we got exposed to all the stereotypes and misconceptions of the dogs, we realized that the work that I was doing with him was really going far, because it was letting the dogs speak for themselves through Wallace's accomplishments. Well, when the Michael Vick case happened, obviously everybody knew about it, and I was already doing the work with Wallace, and so I thought this could be a really unique situation, and I figured if I could pair one of those dogs with the work I was already doing with Wallace, that it could be a great thing for the dogs if one of them would happen to fit into my family, because obviously he would be my pet first. So I contacted Bad Rap, who I had a relationship with online, and I kind of told them the situation, or my situation, said, if you happen to have a dog that came from that situation that would fit into my family, let me know and I would consider adopting it. And sure enough, long story short, they suggested Hector. I flew out there to meet him, because they're in California, I'm in Minnesota, and loved what I saw. He struck me right from the beginning, and thought that it'd be a really great match to bring him home into my family.
So let me just clarify for my listeners. Bad Rap is an organization, a nonprofit animal welfare organization, and they obtained many of the Michael Vick dogs, correct?
Yes, I believe they took, it was either 8 or 10, I can't remember, but
yeah, and so Hector was one of those lucky dogs that got saved, and now he's really hit the jackpot with Andrew, apparently. You should see the way the two of them interact. You are the Director of Care and Enrichment for Animal Farm Foundation. Can you just tell us briefly about Animal Farm and what you do specifically?
Yes, absolutely. Animal Farm Foundation is a private foundation, and we do a lot of grant funding and fact-based educational material to other nonprofits that share our same mission and compassion towards all animals, including pit bulls. So we are focused on the pit bulls right now just because they seem to have a problem as soon as somebody labels them a pit bull. And we know it's not with the dogs, it's with the society and us and our misconceptions. So we've been just doing a lot of work to get the facts out there and make sure that the truth is told.
Now, it's interesting. Hector is wearing a therapy dog vest. Can you, how did that happen?
Yes, he is. My other pit bull was a Frisbee dog, and, you know, ideally it would have been kind of cool for him to follow those paths, but I adopting him, I knew he wasn't. And he just has such a great demeanor with people, and his favorite thing is to go explore new things. And so I figured what better way to do that than to visit hospitals, nursing homes, or wherever we could, you know, explore. And so he enjoys it. The people that we go and visit enjoy it. It's just such a great match. And, you know, we've done a lot of work. We've been actually doing a lot of work in elementary schools to teach children compassion towards animals and kind of tell his story. And hopefully we can, you know, make sure that the problem of dog fighting and animal cruelty is started in the right direction at a young age.
I want to emphasize here that Hector, who was trained to be aggressive and mean, was at this big convention center as happy and as friendly as a dog could be. Literally hundreds of people approached him and pet him, and he was calm, relaxed, full of love. It was remarkable to see. And I want to remind you that many organizations and people called for the euthanasia of all the Vic dogs. Instead, what we have here is a dog born and trained to fight and be aggressive. He left all that behind to become a sweet, friendly therapy dog in schools and in nursing homes. Andrew then discusses Hector's transition from fighting dog to therapy dog.
The great thing with Hector is that, you know, he didn't need any extensive rehabilitation. Once he was actually out of that situation, and given the chance to be a dog, which he's getting a little antsy right now, once he was out of that situation and given the chance to be a dog, he just he showed who he really was. He didn't have a choice in the situation where he was, and you know, now that once he got out of that situation and, you know, was set up to succeed, he took advantage of it.
So you have not seen him exhibit any aggressive behavior since he's been out of there?
No, not at all. He actually lives at home with my wife and our other dogs. We have five dogs, and his favorite buddy is a little 18-pound rat terrier named Scooby Snack. He gets bossed around on a daily basis from a little 12-pound toy Aussie named Mindy Lou. He really enjoys playing with dogs, and, you know, it's definitely not what people would think, considering, you know, if you explain where he came from and his situation, it's not what people would think of how he would act, but it is. And I think if anything, this case really, really is an example that we need to step back and really find out what we or really reevaluate what we think we know. And kind of open our minds to the actual truth that's out there, because these dogs are showing us something different. And I think it's a lesson very much worthy of our attention.
Coming up next, is Michael Vick doing anything truly meaningful to combat dog fighting at this time? We will be speaking with John Goodwin, who is Director of Animal Fighting Policy for the Humane Society of the United States. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Thanks for listening to Animals Today.
Yeah.
So you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. That's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized. That's millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, crowded, inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred, or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Thank you, America. For over 70 years, GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance, and because of you, they've been the nation's fastest-growing car insurance company over the past 5 years. To show our appreciation, call within the next 15 minutes and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. This is not a limited-time offer, and okay, actually you could call whenever you like. But why are we even arguing about this, America?
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Can you get long-lasting pain relief without taking pills all day? Yes, with Thermacare heat wraps.
I was surprised. I got real relief without pills.
I could actually feel the real heat of Thermacare relax and unlock my tight muscles.
Over 8 hours, Thermacare is more effective for back pain than the maximum dose of acetaminophen, the medicine in Tylenol.
No pills, no pain, just relief.
Try Thermacare heat wraps. Go to Thermacare.com for a $3 off coupon now. Use as directed.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
Have you heard? Proactive is new and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million-bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With New Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-630-9709 because we're going to let a million people try New Proactive risk-free. Get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try new and better than ever Proactive, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of the new Proactive, two free extras, and free shipping when you call 1-800-630-9709. This is our best radio offer ever. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of new Proactive plus free shipping. That's right, free shipping. This offer won't last long. Call 1-800-630-9709. That's 1-800-630-9709.
Attention! Hydralyze is currently seeking participants with dark circles and puffy eyes. If you have dark circles or bags around your eyes due to heredity, fatigue, or aging, you are eligible to see results and participate in the Hydralyze trial. Hydralyze was introduced to improve delicate skin around the eyes and now has been shown to eliminate dark circles and bags. It effectively diminishes even dark circles caused by heredity. To participate in the Hydralyze trial and see results risk-free, call 1-800-398-9636. Fragile capillaries around the eye can leak, allowing blood to pool beneath the skin like an ugly bruise. But right now, you can join the thousands of people who have seen their dark circles fade away, watched as bags literally disappeared from view. Participate in the free trial by calling today. If you're serious about getting rid of your dark circles or bags around the eyes, you are eligible to participate and experience results with Hydralyze. Call this number today. 1-800-398-9636. Once more, that's 1-800-398-9636.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Next, we want to welcome John Goodwin, who is Director of Animal Fighting Policy for the Humane Society of the United States. He is a nationally recognized expert on all issues related to animal fighting. And we've asked him to join us today to give us an update on the activities of Michael Vick following his release from prison for dog fighting. You may have heard that Vic has agreed to help anti-dog fighting efforts, and we want to find out what he really is up to these days. Welcome to the show, John.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
John, can you tell us what Michael Vick agreed to do upon his release from prison, and if he has been meeting his obligations to advance the anti-dog fighting cause?
Well, first, he has been meeting his obligations. When Michael Vick was still in prison, his attorneys approached the Humane Society of the United States about him engaging in efforts to stop dog fighting when he got out. Wayne Boselli, our president and CEO, went and met with him, and Michael made the commitment to him that he wanted to do good to make up for all of the damage that he had caused. And so we asked for him not just to do simply a PSA or something that would be here today, gone tomorrow, but to make a long-term, multi-year commitment to continually giving public talks and other outreach, primarily targeted at young men who are most at risk for going down this dead-end activity.
So, John, we have a situation here where a notorious animal abuser and killer is now employed by the animal protection movement to renounce his past actions and teach compassion and respect for animals. Has this ever happened before? Is there any precedent for animal abusers to go on to be animal advocates?
You know, there actually is. Some of the biggest and best spokespeople that our movement has have been people who have lived a certain way and then turned over a new leaf. There are certain people who were animal researchers who became the strongest critics of cruel experiments. There are people like Howard Lyman, who was a big rancher, who became a strong animal advocate. There are people like Thomas Evelyn, who was a former fur trapper, who wrote the book Jaws of Steel and was one of the strongest critics to attack fur trapping. Now, Michael Vick was in a bit of a different camp because he had so much notoriety, and there was such a spotlight on some really, really heinous things that he and his friends did. But this is really an ideal situation where someone who did horrible things turned around. We all come to this cause hoping to create change in our society, change in individuals, to just create change so that animals will have a better fate here in the world. And it's actually quite promising when someone who was as notorious and as cruel as Michael Vick can turn things around.
You say turn things around. Do you think the heart of Michael Vick has truly changed, or is he just going through the motions to get his career back and because his lawyers are strongly advising him to go out and do something that looks good in the public eye?
When Michael Vick first started this, I was asked that question quite a bit in the media, and my response then was that I could not read what was deep inside his heart, but that I would have to step back and let his actions speak for themselves. Now, here we are, a year and a half down the road, and he's still at it. His career is back. He's back in the NFL. He's starting in the NFL. He just had the best season of his career. But he's still giving anti-dog fighting talks, and he's still going out there and talking to young men and women in public and in private to discourage them from going down this dead-end path and getting involved in dog fighting. And so those actions really have spoken well to me, and I have nudged myself along the road going from I don't know, I'll let his actions speak for themselves, to you know, I'm starting to think this guy might really be the real deal.
You may know that not everyone in the animal rights movement agrees that Vic should be given an opportunity to say anything about the welfare of animals. And furthermore, many people have criticized the Humane Society of the United States for their partnership with Vic. How do you respond to such criticism?
Well, when we look at the dogfighting issue here, we have a big investigations team that brings intelligence to us about tens of thousands of people around the country involved in dogfighting. So we see this issue from a bit of a different vantage point. Many people, when they think of dogfighting, they think just of Michael Vick because he's the guy that was broadcast into their living rooms for engaging in this heinous crime. So to them, he's kind of the beginning and end of the problem. But to us, he is one guy who is doing the exact same things that tens of thousands of other people were doing. So from my viewpoint, the problem has always been significantly bigger than Michael Vick. And so with that taken into consideration, looking at this from a strategic perspective, do we engage in ongoing punitive punishment of one individual, or do we use that individual to try to keep hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe tens of thousands of others from getting involved in this? And when you're looking at it from that perspective and you're thinking, let's take the path that will lead to the most dogs saved, that will reduce the most suffering, when you look at it from that perspective, I think we made the right choice.
And do you think, let's say, children are more receptive to him and his message because of his past than, let's say, someone else who hadn't had such a violent, abusive past?
Michael has gone and spoken at some schools in some pretty rough areas. I went to one in Philadelphia, really rough neighborhood, metal detectors to get in and everything. And the young men and women at that school, they saw him as a credible spokesperson because he came from the same community that they lived in, rough streets, a lot of crime around, a different reality than, say, for example, where I came from. So when he's sitting there and he's a quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles and he has roots that they can relate to, and I'm sitting there in my coat and tie, from their perspective, he's far more of a credible messenger than me. And that's where he becomes very valuable in reaching some of these kids.
John, I recently learned Vic has expressed a desire to own a dog, but he's not permitted to own one as part of his sentencing. In fact, he said, and I'll quote here, "I miss having a dog right now. My daughters miss having one, and that is the hardest thing, telling them that we can't have one because of my actions." And he also says, I found one other quote in response to this owning a dog, "I think it would be a big step for me in the rehabilitation process. I think just to have a pet in my household and to show people that I genuinely care and my love and my passion for animals." John, I nearly fell off my chair when I read this, and I have to tell you that I'm shocked to hear that Vic would even mention this topic of owning a dog and think his suggestion is completely outrageous. Does the Humane Society of the United States or Wayne Pacelli have a position on this, or have they reacted to his desires?
Well, you know, Wayne had a quote in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that was grossly out of context right after this was right after Vic made those comments during an interview with a reporter who works for MSNBC. And our position is that right now, no, he should not have an animal. Now, and there are cases where we believe in prohibition on future ownership of animals, whether it be for a limited time or an unlimited time. Now, going down the road, do I think that his daughter, so long as they live with him, should never be allowed to have an animal? Not necessarily. I mean, a lot of that depends on Michael Vick's ongoing actions and, if he continues to demonstrate that he really has been rehabilitated or really is being rehabilitated and continues to help make inroads against dogfighting. But right now, no, we're not at that point at this point.
Yeah. And I respect your opinion, but who really can tell if he is truly rehabilitated?
Well, you know,
tell?
It's a very fair point. But I will say this, that if a dog was to be adopted by the Vic family, that dog would have more of a public spotlight on him or her than any other animal in the country. I mean, you remember when those pandas were born at the Washington National Zoo and those animals were in the headlines everywhere?
Yeah.
Well, a Vic dog would get far more headlines than that. So I don't think that he could let that water bowl get empty without being criticized. I really don't see how the dog in that situation could ever really be in harm's way, because even if he wasn't rehabilitated, everyone's going to be following that.
Yeah. John Goodwin, Director of Animal Fighting Policy for the Humane Society of the United States. John, we really appreciate you being here on Animals Today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And next, Peter and the News. Don't go away.
Standing in the rain, bullfrog, doing it again. Some kind of happiness is measured out in miles. What makes you think you're something special?
Did you know that there's a huge problem with pet overpopulation? There are so many unwanted dogs and cats that sadly millions of wonderful pets are euthanized every year in shelters because there's just nowhere for them to go. Consider that one female dog and her offspring can produce more than 50,000 puppies in just 6 years, and that a female cat and her kittens can produce more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. Now, everybody loves a cute puppy or a playful kitten, but there simply are not enough people to care for all the animals. If you let your animal have a litter, even just one, then these kittens and puppies can go on to produce more offspring themselves. We can all help reduce this problem by spaying or neutering our animals as soon as we obtain them. That's what responsible pet owners do. Ask your veterinarian about the procedure. You'll also learn that spaying and neutering can allow your pet to live a longer, healthier life by reducing the chances of certain cancers. There are other benefits too. Fixed animals are less likely to bite, fight, roam, or run away. Neutered cats are less likely to mark their territory. And because they do not go into heat cycles, they are less likely to cry continuously or to attract unwanted animals. So make sure to spay or neuter your pets right away and tell your friends and relatives about how we can all help make pet euthanasia a thing of the past. This message presented by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Thank you for calling Rosetta Stone for your free language learning demo CD-ROM.
Yeah, what's the catch?
Excuse me?
Your ad says I can get a free demo of your language software. So what's the catch?
No catch. We're so sure Rosetta Stone is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language that we'll give you a free demo.
To get your free demo from Rosetta Stone, call now. 1-800-441-6994. 1-800-441-6994. 1-800-441-6994.
This is Jeff Diamond, and we're talking to the creator of Right Size Smoothies, Steve Bostick.
I just got off the phone with a woman who ordered Right Size last week. Her name was Joni, and she'd already lost 12 pounds in only 7 days, and she was so excited. She said this is the first time that she's tried a weight loss product that actually worked for her.
When you drink a right-size smoothie, you feel like you're full, and that's what you're looking for, isn't it?
We call it the Hunger Smashing Smoothie. We've developed a cutting-edge appetite manager called Appamine. It's in the smoothie. You drink the smoothie. It knocks out your appetite. It helps you burn more calories than you take in safely and without being hungry. And as you know, that's what leads to weight loss. It's a great product.
And you're going to let people try this for free for 2 weeks.
It's the best deal that anybody's ever offered on a weight loss product. You don't pay anything up front. You try the product free for 2 full weeks, see how it works for you, and either you lose the weight or you never pay for it.
Try Right Size before you buy it. For your free 2-week trial, call 1-800-995-1769. That's 1-800-995-1769. 1-800-995-1769.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
How are ordinary women across America looking years younger? They've discovered the proven breakthrough called Hydroxytone. It erases wrinkles, tightens skin, and makes frown lines disappear from view. See for yourself by requesting a risk-free trial today.
She always looked good to me. I can't believe how young she looks.
Hydroxytone is now available at Ulta stores, but for this exclusive radio offer, you must call 1-800-504-1933. That's a free trial at
1-800-504-1933. Welcome back to Animals Today, where each week we bring discussions and interviews about the important issues concerning animals, both in our backyards and around the world. Please visit animalstodayradio.com, animalstodayradio.com. You can also listen to previous recorded shows. That's all listed on there. And I welcome your comments about the show. You can always contact me by logging on to animalstodayradio.com or email me directly at DRLORI, that's Dr. Lori at AnimalsTodayRadio.com. Animals Today is sponsored by Desert Paws. To learn more about Desert Paws and their mission to promote respect and compassion for all living creatures, check out their website at www.desertpaws.org. Hi, Peter.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. What's going on in the news?
Well, you know, there's this one story that's got everyone all upset, and appropriately so. You know, throughout the North America, there are lots of these private sled dog businesses.
Right.
And they're for tourists, and you sign up and you get a chance to mush, and it's like an adventure sort of thing.
Right.
Well, it just came to light that last spring, one of these companies actually killed 100 of their dogs. One of their employees sacrificed these dogs because business had fallen, and they had all these sort of extra unnecessary animals.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
So the owner's employees killed the dogs?
That's right.
Purposely killed the dogs because business was down.
And allegedly did so at the instruction of the owner, but we'll see.
So what happens?
Well, I'll tell you how this came to light, which is very interesting. The person who put the dogs down applied for a disability, claiming post-traumatic stress disorder, and that's how the story came out.
Oh, my God.
Right. So the industry, obviously, is shocked because they're really not very well regulated, but this is really going to put a lot of scrutiny under the whole industry of all these private companies who like to have these riders pay for their fees.
That is terrible. How did he kill the dogs? Do I not want to know?
He shot them and slit their throats.
You know, okay, well, this guy's going to be charged, please?
I'm not sure what the status is right now.
Okay.
It's still being investigated. It just came to light.
Yeah, you know, there's the Iditarod, the annual Iditarod race that's going to go on actually next month, March.
And this is
different.
No, different.
Yeah. No, I know. It's similar because it's sled dogging, mushing. And we're going to bring a expert on to talk about the cruelties involved in the racing.
There's cruelty in sled dog racing, you say?
Yes, I say.
Yeah.
What else?
The state of Connecticut is considering banning wild animals as pets. They've got a whole slew of new regulations that are much more precise and detailed, describing what you can own and can't own in Connecticut.
Good for them.
Yeah, and I think a lot of states nearly need to step up and flesh out what their regulations are. And also, they're going to regulate what you can and cannot release. So if you've got an illegal snake, you just can't set it free and expect not to worry about that.
Right.
Right. And they're also going to ban export of native wild animals like the beaver and harbor seal and black duck.
Good.
So they
good
are,
step.
They're getting with it. And apparently this there's a lot of public attention in Connecticut came after a pet chimp attacked their owner in 2009.
Travis. So,
well, this was, you know, this instance I'm referring to was in Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
So that, but I don't know why they had to wait until 2009 before really getting interested in this stuff.
Right.
Right.
Good. Good for them.
Well, I was wondering what you'd think about this one. There's a new study that was aiming, a scientific study, looking at how bears can hibernate successfully. So to do so, as you know, the body temperature goes down. The heart rate goes down from approximately 84 beats a minute to around 19 when they are hibernating. How can the bear stay alive when the heart is only beating 19 beats a minute?
And humans have to know this answer?
Well, these researchers thought that humans need to know this, and they employed a bunch of captive bears, actually born in captivity and apparently kept in the facility so they can do these sorts of studies on them, so they can learn about the change in the muscle protein composition in hibernating bears compared to bears otherwise.
And what benefit does this give to anyone?
Yeah. You know what? It's interesting. The researcher said that, I'll just quote here, it's interesting. Bears aren't a perfect model for humans, but the way in which a bear's heart can change could be helpful in understanding human disease, he said. Okay. He also said it's really interesting physiology.
So it's an interesting physiology. That's why they're doing the study.
Well, it is very interesting, if unless you're the bear that's being
well, that's
probed.
Right. Exactly. But what's the point? I don't see the point. I don't see any benefit to anyone here except learning more about bears when they're in hibernation.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we need to know that?
Well, that's what's happening with your tax dollars.
Okay. Great. I'd rather save the bears.
And one more story about the proposed regulations for wind farms. Did you know that, we're expecting more and more wind farms to,